to Empire. That does it for today's broadcast. If you'd like to get a copy, go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berkshire, Fabel Caduce, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Preston, Ruba Richin, Frank Lopez, Jenny Utes, Mike DeFilippo, and Nick Marsilio are engineers. Special thanks to Uri Galed, Angela Alston, Danielle Strandberg-Peshkin, Megan Whitney. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Democracy Now!
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook at 6:01. Time for another edition of Off the Wall. I know everybody is thinking this program is going to be the second part of the Cuba escapade, and let me just step in right now and say that that is not going to be happening tonight. And if you listen carefully to last week's show, we said that that was part one, and part two was coming. We didn't say part two is necessarily coming this week. Yeah, so the reason for this, it's not because there's any kind of a scandal or even that we're unprepared or anything like that. It's just that there is other material as well. And while Cuba will work next week or maybe even the week after that, what happened this past week, I think, should be presented this week. I just think it'll flow better. It's a programmer's decision. And you'll just have to trust me on this one. So, okay, what happened this week? This was the week of the Dayton Hamvention. And for those of you who only understand maybe one of those words, well, what Dayton is a city. Oh, you don't know the one. Okay, Hamvention, that's the one you don't understand. Hamvention is a Dayton, too? Okay, I can explain Dayton as well, because it's kind of mystifying. But Hamvention first. Hamvention is this annual gathering of ham radio enthusiasts. Now, I know what you're saying, Emmanuel. You're not really a ham radio enthusiast. Well, you're not entirely correct saying that. How dare you judge me? I like ham radio. It's fine. I don't have a ham radio license myself by choice. I don't have a need for that kind of thing. I don't have time for that kind of thing. But no, I certainly respect it. I certainly look up to people who spend hours and hours sitting on the radio talking to people about radio and things like that. It's fine. It's a life choice, and we're all about life choices here. But it's also a technical issue, and as someone involved in the hacker community, ham radio is sort of a cousin, I guess, is the best way to say it. And yeah, it's a different crowd. It's not exactly your 2600 meeting crowd when you go over to Dayton. But the people you meet over there are remarkably similar in many ways. They have this passion for technology and this ability to sort of, transmit that information, no pun intended, to other people and kind of receive information in return and trade back and forth and just sort of become stronger for it and come back the next year and do the exact same thing. Well, I guess I'm not making it sound very exciting, but somehow it is. And really, the only way to experience it is to experience it. And that's what I do. I try to do once a year by driving the 2600 van all the way out to Dayton, Ohio. That's the second part of the explanation. Dayton is the city in Ohio. Home of the Dayton Accord, by the way. And it's, I guess, the site of the biggest ham radio gathering, because certainly there are many ham radio enthusiast gatherings, ham fests they call them. This one is called the Hamvention, because somebody was particularly clever when they named it. And tens of thousands of people show up to this thing from all over the world. People fly in. You think I'm crazy driving the van all the way from New York? No, people fly in from all over the planet. And why do they do this? To see the 2600 van. Why else? Come on. No, they come to trade information and equipment and meet other people. It's mostly about hardware. It's mostly about walking up and down the aisles and seeing incredible deals, old telephones, old electronic equipment, shortwave radios, walkie-talkies, batteries, hot dogs. You know, things that you need when you're out there for 3, maybe even 4 days. And when I say out there, I don't just mean mentally. I mean actually in the parking lot of a place known as the Hera Arena. Huge place. Huge place. Even bigger than South Pilot, I think, here at Stony Brook. And what happens is this parking lot, which I don't think does anything else the whole rest of the year, is transformed into this mecca for ham radio people, where every single parking space is a merchant of one sort or another displaying their wares. Well, we actually had 2 spaces, because that's how you park the van, sideways, and fit in 2 spaces. And what you do is you walk up and down the aisles. It'll take you many hours to do that, and many more hours if you stop and actually look at some of the things that are being sold or talk to people along the way. And you find things at incredible prices. You really do. But more importantly, you just meet the most interesting people. People you normally probably wouldn't cross paths with. Now, I don't spend as much time walking around as most people do, because I like to stick with the van and meet the people coming up to me who read 2600 and listen to this radio show and Off the Hook and see all sorts of other things that we do, come to the conferences, watch the films, and various other activities that we encourage people to partake in. And it's just so cool to meet some guy from, say, Michigan or Kansas who really never had a view into the hacker world before. And by listening to the radio every week, he or she is able to get this. By reading the magazine, this particular window is open to them. And that's the coolest thing of all. This is all worthwhile. Everything I'm involved in is worthwhile, primarily because of feedback, because of hearing from people like you, and people not like you, people in general, who get something out of it. You realize that what you're doing isn't a complete waste of time. And just meeting up with people like that, I think that makes the drive worthwhile. And the drive is something else, I gotta say. The drive is a lot of fun. I'm one of these people who enjoys driving. I don't know why. Some kind of psychotic thing going on there. But basically, when you're driving a van from 1981, that's a standard transmission. Transmission that just got replaced, by the way. Story behind that, too. You know, they moved reverse on me. I just got the thing out of the shop, and I'm pulling it into to our warehouse and backing up. And I'm in a spot where, you know, I'm sort of pulled all the way up, and I have to back up to pull back in. I can't find reverse. There's no reverse on the van. I can't go forward because I'm up against the wall. I can't go backwards because there is no backwards. I am in a pickle. Did they forget to put reverse in when they put the new transmission in? Who knows? Who knows? But fortunately, they were still there when I called them to ask what in God's name, I'm trying to place this as politely as I can, has happened to my transmission. Where is reverse? What have you done to reverse? Turns out that a van that old, apparently when you replace the parts, certain parts aren't available anymore. And this particular van used to get to reverse by shifting the stick all the way to the left and then pushing up. And I guess you just don't do that anymore. Now what you have to do is you have to shift it all the way to the left and then push down. And, you know, I guess I would have figured it out eventually. There's all sorts of combinations, but who would think that reverse would actually move? Well, that's something I learned. So, yeah, driving the van all the way out to Ohio, it's a good 12 hours. It can be 10 hours if you're driving in a nice, speedy car, but the van has trouble going up mountains, and, you know, you sort of want to stop every now and then and stretch your feet, because it's awfully loud in there. telephone company vans aren't really meant for long-distance travel. But what we do is we get a pack of people together, head out there once a year. Well, we can only head out there once a year because that's when it happens. And set up a couple of tables, put 2,600 issues on there, and CDs and DVDs and T-shirts and sweatshirts and all sorts of other things. And all sorts of characters walk by and point at us. Some of them laugh, some of them stare. But more than you would expect, come up and actually have good discussions, good conversations. People you probably wouldn't agree with on just about anything in the world, you find yourself talking to for hours. And I find that's the case in the Midwest in general. That's one of the reasons why I like it out there so much. People are very laid back and friendly. I think everybody knows that. And while, yes, Ohio is the state responsible for Bush's second reign, you can still have a civilized discussion about various issues and realize that nobody can be categorized in a particular way. New Yorkers, Midwesterners, that is. Except for the West Coast, you can categorize them. And it's probably accurate. So, we went out there on Wednesday. You have to get there on Thursday if you want to park your vehicle inside the space. And so that means leaving sometime Wednesday if you want to get there, anytime Thursday. And the actual convention itself, if you want to call it a convention, it's mostly just a big parking lot filled with people. That takes place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I don't go on Sunday because I like to drive back on Sunday and get there sometime Monday, which is what happened as well. But Friday and Saturday are great. You just sort of hang around, get sunburned, and meet a whole lot of people. That's what we did. We have some audio from that this year, thanks to the miraculous little iRiver device that I'm carrying everywhere with me now. We actually talked to a couple of people. Bernie S. was out there. In fact, Bernie S. has been going to these things forever. You know him from the other radio show. And then you'll also hear from Lynn Holcomb, who actually comes to our radio show every now and then and met Bernie S. at the Hamvention many years ago. You'll hear that story. And you'll also hear from a native Ohioan, against his will, our friend Lurid, who gives you some interesting perspective on what it's like to live in Ohio. We'll also be visiting the Waffle House. And that, my friends, that is a trip in and of itself. That's almost like a religion. There are certain places you just go, and it's tradition. It's tradition. And on the way back, on that Sunday, on the way back, we always make a point of stopping at a particular Waffle House, not just any Waffle House, because there certainly are a lot of them, but a particular one, where it's very, very noisy inside, very hectic, and a whole lot of fun. So let's take a listen to some of the audio from the Dayton Hamvention this year on Off the Wall. And I guess I should point out, this is us standing outside. Hear a little bit of the kinds of conversations that we have with the passing people as we stand outside and show off the van. A lot of people come up to the van, want to take pictures of it, think it's really cool to have an old phone company van. People appreciate that kind of thing out there.
Not from us, but somebody has them somewhere.
Okay.
That has a lot of chances.
Where'd the goddamn it go?
I guess what you could do is the goddamn it.
Yeah. Or the bees and see if
how far down will it go?
Both of them might.
Is that
17.65
or 176?
Okay. Here, take this one.
It goes to 100. On the bottom right is your frequency range.
Oh, 0.160 megahertz.
Yes.
RF.
Yes.
Cool. Loafer beacon. How much output?
Find out. I don't know anything about it.
That's
guy had
cool.
A huge truckload of stuff. He's like, I don't know what to do with this. He had like six of them. He said the other people said they worked, but he obviously wasn't lying to me because he says, you know, make me an offer. I don't care.
Hey,
I gave him $10. He's like, fine. Right. He just didn't want to take all this stuff home.
Remote program.
Yeah, well, let's see if I can find the specs on it. The name of the company's on there. What's the same? We should back.
Good job. Instrument.
I think the car's good.
corporations. You wonder where they're located.
Marlboro, Massachusetts.
We're here in Dayton. It's the end of Dayton, pretty much. Well, not the end of the city, Dayton, but the end of the Dayton convention.
No, it's possible.
Is a delay on? Is a delay on?
Well, it's on tape, so yeah, it could be on. Why? You feel the need to say something I need to censor?
Well, I just wondered because of previous content.
You've been to all of the Dayton Hamventions, Bernie, so
no,
tell
no,
us. Don't interrupt me, please. I'm talking. So tell us, how does this rank from all the, 150 or so you've been to?
Well, the camaraderie is as good as usual, but I feel that the 60-mile-hour winds and marble-sized hail on Thursday and heavy rain was a sort of a damper.
Well,
there's hail right there. You just see these ice cubes land on somebody?
Well, they just dumped a bunch of ice on the ground.
No, but somebody was throwing ice at those guys. Or maybe they're just falling from the sky like they were on Thursday.
All right, so we've had some biblical weather. That's not a big deal. But, you know, people showed up still.
People showed up. I think there was a fewer people this year, perhaps because of the artificially inflated price of petroleum products right now.
It cost me $150 just to get out here.
Yikes. And I hear you didn't make enough money to head back either.
Well, I'm still going to try to raise that on the interstate.
Better put a collections jar here on the table for fuel.
You're going to stop at the rest stops and sell magazines?
There you go, the truckers.
Yeah, the rest stop, the weigh stations, and yeah, all those places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make a good buck there.
The truckers could use the 2600 mouse pads as seat cushions.
Well, that
of
wasn't
course,
their,
they have very large...
It wasn't their original intent.
They have very large bottoms, the truckers, that is, so maybe they need at least 8 of those.
And prostate problems, I hear.
Well, all that aside, what did you get this year? I see you holding something.
What did I get besides the sunburn?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a very nice Nixie tube clock.
What are you going to do with that?
When somebody asks me the time, I'll be able to tell them.
Which you can't do now with your phone or your other clocks?
Yes, but I can read it off a 1950s era Soviet Nixie tube.
That looks really cool in the dark.
Yeah.
Well, let's see how it works. Tell me the time.
It's 5:53
You're looking at your
PM.
Wristwatch. It's not the same
thing. Well, it's in the box, and it's not powered up right now.
Mm-hmm. Why does it say eBay on the side? We're not at eBay.
No, the guy just had boxes lying around, so...
This is like one giant eBay, though, isn't it?
It's better than eBay, because there's not a million people competing with you in real time.
Yeah, from, like, Indonesia and stuff.
Exactly.
But still, it's like a lot of people here with a lot of junk.
A lot of junk, but one man's junk is another man's treasure.
Well, I learned that.
I'm usually on the second side of that, as you can see from all the things I've piled into the van here.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, which you need to remove.
But,
and if so you show up,
where am I going to put it?
I don't know.
And if you show up in your coal, then you can buy a jacket.
Oh, that jacket is interesting.
For $10.
You bought that jacket here?
With a liner that, and if you're trying to be looked at with a starlight scope at night.
You see this interference pattern here?
You can't be seen.
That's like such a Unabomber jacket.
Really. I know. Yeah, that's the only problem.
When
don't
he puts
wear
that thing
airport.
Up over his head, it kind of looks like Ted Kaczynski.
Check the pockets. You might find something interesting.
There's no pockets on
there. There are. Look, there's all inside.
No, there's
hidden
holes.
Pockets.
Oh, these are shoplifting pockets. Look. No, wait. Seriously. They are.
What's the pattern here? It's like little squares. And
yeah.
Sometimes there aren't little squares. It's like round circles.
It really is a military...
It's a military issue.
It's a sniper jacket.
What military would want people to wear this?
The U.S. government.
I'll tell you, these night vision devices that the military uses use devices called microchannel plates that have a very fine grid pattern when you're looking through it. You don't really realize it, but if you're looking at a distant object that has the same grid pattern, it tends to mesh with the background of the microchannel plate that you're viewing the image through, and it sort of washes out. So basically you become invisible to the military sniper scopes wearing this.
But not
I'd
the
like
new
that.
Multi-million dollar ones.
What do they
use? The Starlight ones, previous generation to the current
Gen
thermal
3.
Ones. Yeah.
Gen 3. So Gen 4, as they call this now, the new
I
one?
I guess. Those,
the thermal those, imagers are not really, it's something else. So
yeah,
you're
something
still going to emit heat. So you just need to turn off your body heat for a while.
Right. You wear ice packs.
Did you see the guy with the thermal imagers over here?
Yeah,
$3,000. These were surplus or ripped out of... Hummer H2s and certain Cadillacs that had night vision option. So you could get these surplus devices that would not only let you see in the dark, but let you spot thermal heat signatures. So
they had those here?
Yeah, the guy was telling me a story. Yeah, they had them down here. They still do.
How much?
They were expensive.
Like
but,
$50?
More than any of us have here. But
$60.
This is like military grade technology, pretty much.
In a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Military
the
technology was
fine. He did one for the 2600
van. He looked out over a field near his house, and there was a little heat signature object on the edge of a pond, and he knew there was something alive there. He didn't know what it was. So he went down there with a spotlight, and it was a fox hiding in the grass, which he never would have seen with binoculars or anything else. So kind of neat. Foxes are foxy, but
yeah.
Not foxy enough to outsmart the thermal imaging device.
Available in a Cadillac.
Yes.
Well, we have a bunch of old phones on the ground that people haven't taken.
How many were given away free with the purchase of any magazine?
About five.
Really?
Yeah.
So that helped.
Three of them were only because of the phone. They only bought it because they wanted a phone.
These phones are so old and so dirty.
So they were involuntarily exposed to 2600. This is good. This was the idea. To get people that would not have bought a magazine no matter how much.
Completely out of your mind.
This was not the idea.
It doesn't mean that I'm not out of my mind.
But this is not the idea because I had these phones for many, many years in my garage and the roof collapsed. And it got all wet. And
I saw there's wood chips in there.
Yeah, wood chips. That's where they came from.
And spiders.
Then I put it in a storage space, which the day after had flooding issues. So these phones have been through a lot. And then, of course, the whole history before they turned into garbage. And so they're in the van, and I drove them out here, and hey, I've got junky phones. This is the place for them.
You should have word processed, typed out the whole promenade of these, providence of these telephones, their history from their creation in Western Electric manufacturing plants.
Damned if I know. There's phones.
To your possession and, you know, in the headquarters of 2600 Magazine. And, you know, that would add value. You know, in the collectible antiques market, the provenance of an item is really its value.
Someone looking at the phones right now, in fact.
And there was one that one guy got. He bought four magazines, and he got the Charlie. It's the little speakerphone box.
And that's cool.
And he actually, he only wanted that, so he cut it off. Then he came back today and was like, I need the rest of it. And then...
Was the rest of it there? I didn't see the rest of it.
No, it is. Number six. It's right there still. He didn't take it. I don't know. He came back five times trying to
what's
decide.
Number six?
That's the phone with this number six as the number.
Number six.
Number six.
Number six.
No.
Speaking of number six, wow.
Yeah, it was intense.
Speaking of number six, what?
Well, it just seems to be more than a coincidence that Hope Number 6
could
be occurring this.
Well, it's not a coincidence.
July
we planned that. It's
21st, 22nd, and 23rd, which I've gotten many people interested in here.
That's good.
I've talked to at least 10 people who didn't know about it here today who now are enthusiastically looking forward to coming.
And I have officially applied for a one-by-one special event call sign from the FCC.
This is a great idea.
N6H. Number six, Hope. That's as close as you can get and be within the constraints of licensing.
Because Redbird just yesterday, or last night before last, last night or night before.
Doesn't
last?
Matter because when the people are hearing this,
that's right.
It'll be
time
days,
is not
days,
here.
Days from now. Yeah.
From the hotel room, we strung a 20-meter dipole antenna, just a piece of wire, basically, from the hotel room balcony, which is just on the second floor, out to a tree limb. And then...
always causing problems.
Yes, we were.
You can't just leave things alone. You have to string wires places.
With a mere 5-watt transceiver, Redbird was able to contact, on his first try, a fellow ham radio operator in Southern California with 5 watts. This is about as much power as a couple of nightlights.
Why was he trying to reach this guy in Southern California?
Well, he was just listening for contacts on the 20-meter band, and he heard somebody with a 9 call, which is California.
6 call.
6 call? Oh, sorry, 9 call is... that's right, it was 6 call. It was AA9 something.
Here they go.
Anyway, so he established contact, and the guy probably had, you know, much more power. Oh, the guy was running an ICOM 7800, this $10,000 rig that they have in there that's hooked up to that giant antenna over here. And Joe was running this little inexpensive 5-watt radio.
This is not... The world of radios is not like computers. It's backwards compatible. Almost all the way back. You can't legally run a spark gap anymore because it trashes everything, but...
It emits radio energy across all frequencies, so that's not a good thing.
And but even the most modern radios would have FM or have AM compatibility with the radio, that FT-101 that's over there. that was Yaesu made in the early 70s, late 60s, would work with a $10,000 radio and be able to talk to them.
And there's a lot of Heathkit gear here that was made in the 50s that is perfectly compatible with the equipment being made today as far as being able to communicate. Connectivity. But it's connectivity without wires over long distances. So here you are with like 5 watts of RF power going through an antenna strung out into a tree in a few minutes, making contact with someone literally on the other coast of a continent. And they had a nice conversation. And this is an amazing use of technology.
What did they talk about?
They talked about how amazing it was that they were able to do that.
That's all ham people talk about is ham stuff. They don't talk about anything else.
That is one of the problems I do have with amateur radio, that they tend to not talk about things other than their narrow interests in radio in general.
Well, are they allowed to talk about other things? Is there some FCC regulation saying you can't talk about anything?
But they're sort of narrowly focused, a lot of hams.
There's a little bit of a unwritten rule that politics and religion are not things that you want to talk about. Although there are people that do, but the other side of that is there's some people that have been around a long time, and that's a growing group of older hams that will be on 40 or 80 meters in the afternoon or in the evening speaking about their arthritis and who's in the hospital and things like that, the Geritol net.
There's another net that meets on the 3885 kilohertz and the 75-meter band known as the Piss and Moan net. And they typically, it's headed up by Timtron, WA1HGLR. And Tim has a nice, he's a net control operator for the Piss and Moan net. And there's a fine group of individuals who fire up the 811 rig. And that's a euphemism for something else that you can look up. And they'll talk on these 50s era ham radio transmitters and receivers about things that have nothing to do with radio, and they'll just piss and moan about, you know, whether it's the President of the United States or the state of Homeland Security or the price of gasoline, which is artificially inflated, or whatever. It's just the piss and moan net.
This sounds like the net for me.
It's a cathartic use of the amateur radio spectrum.
Yeah, cathartic. That's what I'm into.
And I enjoy listening to the Piss and Moan net. I don't have enough room to erect an antenna that would allow me to communicate on the 75-meter amateur band right now. But if I did, I'd be on the Piss and Moan net.
Well, that's quite an endorsement.
Since we've been standing here, everyone has left.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
It's 3 days later, and, you know, this place is really weird looking when there's not a ham fest here.
Yeah, what is this? It's a parking lot, right?
Yeah.
It's an arena that's been here, I don't know exactly how long. It has various ballrooms and hockey rinks and things like that. But this is the guy's taking down a tent next to us. There's what, hockey games and basketball
games? Well, there used to be hockey games here. But then everyone realized that this is a crappy, crappy part of town and that the Hare Arena is crappy and trashy and falling apart. Occasionally they do.
It's like a pretty crappy concert venue, too.
It is. It's terrible. I mean, that's why nobody comes here.
Third rate.
I mean, the only people who come here is like WWE, and who the hell wants to see that anyway, you know?
So it's kind of a interesting facility, but it looks pretty weird if the only time you've ever been here is when there's a ham fest, if you just happen to be driving through Dayton, drive by the Hare Arena and
lock your doors.
Lock your doors, because there won't be the Trotwood Police Department walking all over the place checking for counterfeit currency.
Or looking for drug residue and vehicles or whatever they're looking for.
Whatever it is they're doing. Messing up traffic flow, that's always a good one.
You know
one.
What? I at the Hare Arena once, I saw Joe Walsh, the lead guitarist of the Eagles. But he was not performing at the Hare Arena. He was walking around here. Joe Walsh is an amateur radio operator. And he was walking around here about 5 years ago, and I was at someone's table who was he was selling an acoustic guitar, and so I was walking by, and somebody was playing the Hotel California on the guitar, and I thought, man, that guy plays really good, and I said, you're really good, and he said, ought to be, I wrote it, like. Oh, you're Joe Walsh. He's like, yeah.
So he's not looking to get away from that, apparently.
He just enjoyed, you know, playing an old classic guitar that somebody had here. So the guy who was selling guitar said, would you mind signing my guitar? And Jay Walsh was happy to sign it. And he said, well, now I'm not going to sell it because now it's a prized guitar. So I thought that was kind of neat. You run into all kinds of interesting people, right? I ran into the chief radio engineer for the Pennsylvania State Police here. In fact, I believe I have his card. Well, maybe I shouldn't read it on the air. In any case, he told me some very interesting stories about the MACOM Open Sky radio network that's not working too well, that the state of Pennsylvania is spending billions of dollars on and probably will never work properly. And he also does the technical advising to the state of Pennsylvania for their police radar systems for traffic control. And he told me some interesting inside technical information about the radar systems and how they're used. And
do you know who he was talking to?
I had my 2600 cap on, but I'm not sure if he made the connection. But he was just a really interesting guy. We had a great conversation for about 20 minutes, and that's the kind of thing you run into at Dayton Hamvention. You just run into people that
There's always the story about how I met you here.
This is true.
You walked up to the booth, and you asked how much was something or another, and I said, can you say that again? And you said it again, and I said, are you Bernie S.? And he said, yeah. And then here you go.
This has happened to me four times today. I was just talking to somebody, and it was like, you sound really familiar. And I don't think my voice is any more distinctive than I sound like anything, like anybody to me.
These people listen to the radio all the time.
Their minds must be programmed by, like, just the intonations of my voice, which I think are no different than anyone else's, but they pick them out. You know how a mother will pick their child's cry out from amongst a crowd of crying babies? Maybe it's that sort of...
When do mothers do
that?
Yeah,
I was wondering.
When are there a crowd of crying babies that a mother has to pick out theirs?
I could try it as an experiment. We could acquire a bunch of babies.
I mean, it's a nice concept to think of, but I just don't think it's really happened.
Well, it's been said that could happen. Well, it's true, though, that I saw a television documentary where penguins were able to pick out their young...
Penguins now, okay,
great,
fine.
Great flocks of other penguins, and they could pick out their babies.
He didn't say what species of mother could pick out their
child right.
Young. He just said their mothers could pick out their young of crying babies.
They're mothers of invention.
Yes. And then you also had the guy who walked up and claimed that he took the CIA test, and on it was the... Secret Service test, and the question was, do you know what 2600 is?
But it was just a yes-no answer.
No, I'm sorry. Explain what 2600
is. No, that's what he said. He said, the question was, do you know what 2600 is? And the correct answer, I think, was yes, but you didn't have to give any more detail than
It was a yes-no question, not an essay answer kind of thing?
I don't understand the point of it myself.
I don't know either.
That's pretty interesting.
I had a couple of thoughts, but after the run-in that Bernie had, I think I'm going to keep them to myself.
We actually ran across a Secret Service polygraph machine here at the Dayton Hamvention several years ago.
And I think we bought that, didn't we?
We acquired this beautiful brushed aluminum Zero Halliburton case made by Halliburton Corporation.
Back before they were really famous.
Before they were famous. And had this really nice, the old strip chart pen recorder type polygraph machine where the needle dances over the paper and so forth. And we never actually hooked that up to anybody. We should probably take that to the Hope Number 6 conference and see if... do we have any government speakers at Hope Number 6? We could hook up to them and maybe have a camera pointed at the polygraph needle as they're talking to see if, you know, if they're telling the truth.
Well, I was thinking, you know, possibly there was somebody who's a polygraph expert who might be listening, who might be willing to come and administer some polygraph tests for us.
Interpretation. You can't just, anybody can't just look at a polygraph.
Right. We're actually going to have polygraph experts at Hope, so,
well,
yeah.
Sure.
Then that would be interesting to see.
How do we know they're not lying about being polygraph experts? If they truly are polygraph experts, they would know how to lie about it. But then again, they would be polygraph experts. And who but a polygraph expert could really lie so well enough to convince you that they were not telling you the truth?
Well, if they can tell that we're lying, then they would be a polygraph expert, right?
I'm lost now.
Okay, never mind. Sorry.
Good.
Complicated.
We're right where we belong. At Dayton.
Oh, wait, where are we again?
We're at Dayton. Everyone's packing up to leave. We should be doing the same. So we're standing here like fools.
There's ice all over
talking.
The ground over here.
There's ice in the ground.
The show actually does go on for part of another day.
Yeah, we used to stay for that
Sunday
day, too.
Sunday is a little minimal.
We used to come from Sunday, and we used to come Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
It's a day where everybody gives their equipment away. Not everybody. A lot of people give their equipment away.
Sunday is a good day.
It's a free-for-all.
That things get left for take it away if you want it.
It's scavenger time.
Yeah, Bernie, you spend most of the Sundays in garbage dumpsters looking at things.
I have been found headfirst in garbage. It's dumpster diving without even trespassing, which is a unique experience for me.
In fact, they actually encourage people to carry as much of this stuff away as possible because that way the facility maintenance people don't have to scoop it up with the front end loader and dump it in the dumpsters.
The bigger and heavier the equipment it is, the more likely people don't want to take it home and you just leave it here. Look.
Speaking of these gentlemen, I wonder if we could get an interview with them.
They're going by. Look at the.
Yeah, there you go.
This thing is loaded with circuit boards and electronic equipment.
Wow. And he's got a really interesting T-shirt on, but I can't repeat
I
what it says.
The exact same thing.
On the air, Emmanuel would have to go through and beep
Latin,
everything
Latin,
out.
Some kind of metal music.
Yeah, but, Latin metal music.
You'll see the contents of that car, that truck we just said go by, filled with technology refuse, multiply by about 1,000 tomorrow. So we just literally tens of tons, maybe hundreds of tons of technological refuse around.
And but actually, if you leave too much in your booth, they will charge you for the removal the next year.
Well, the booth is just a parking space, so you just move it over to the next booth.
That's pretty much what most people do.
So you live in Dayton?
I do. I live in Dayton.
Is it as much fun as it looks like?
No. No, honestly, it's really not.
Wow.
You know, high crime rate, lots of drugs. You know, it's a great place to raise a family.
Are they good drugs or bad drugs?
You know, it depends on what you're into. Could be good drugs, could be bad drugs.
How does one wind up in Dayton?
I'm not sure, but once you're born here, you can never get out. That's pretty much how it
goes. You've been trying to get out.
I have been trying to get out, and it doesn't work. And the people that are lucky enough to get out, they end up back here. It's this evil suction. It's bad. I mean, there's no way to escape it.
Just stay away from bad drugs.
That is what I say to everyone who comes to Dayton. Avoid the bad drugs.
Well, now, we were wandering around Dayton, the Oregon District, right?
The Oregon District, yes.
And it was Friday night, and this place we wanted to go to closed at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, unbelievably early for a Friday night, but that's apparently how things are around here.
I mean, everything shuts down around here. That's the bad thing. So, us, you know, night people, nothing to do but go to Steak and Shake or Waffle House, and that's only so much fun. So.
Wow.
The people at that restaurant got even with us, though, for showing up, for not getting it seated until 10 o'clock, which they wanted to close and go away at that time. So, two of us who went to that restaurant last night came down with food poisoning. So I think
who's the second?
That was Junts and myself.
Oh, you've not come down at all?
Well, I have a strange feeling in my lower abdomen.
Are you sure it's not just psychosomatic?
I am psycho, but I'm not somatic.
Yeah, we had a great meal.
It was just fantastic. Yeah.
It was very good, tasty food, but you know, the next morning I was starting to feel.
We said it was one of the best meals we ever had. We even gave our waitress a big hug. It was an amazing experience, almost religious.
There was hugging going on. I saw that.
Lots of emotions.
It was something else. But meanwhile, you people were being poisoned.
I think they were selective about who they poisoned. By the way, why is this called the Oregon District? Aren't we in the state of Ohio?
We are. That's Ohioans for you. They don't care. I just don't care.
They do whatever they want.
You're going to get hate mail from Ohioans, aren't you?
Hopefully. It'd be more eventful than anything that's happened in the last 5 years.
You going to give your email address out?
No, I don't think I'm going to.
Now, living in Dayton, how do you feel about all these people coming into your city once a year?
I honestly feel bad, and it kind of angers me that the people don't get to see what Dayton's really like. You know, because I hear people talking about Hambench, and they're like, oh, Dayton, it was great. We had a blast. Like, whoa, what are you guys doing? I need to know this. So, I mean, if anybody has any comments about what they did that was so much fun, please let me know. That would be...
Well, you got to hang out with these guys.
We get to hang out with people.
No, I mean, that's cool, but...
Go to the Waffle House.
You know, but once everyone leaves, it's all downhill.
Well, that's when it's really fun, the drive home.
I don't get to drive home. I am home. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's true.
That is the problem.
That could be an issue with you.
You could stow away in the van.
I could, but then bad things would happen to me.
Okay.
Not from us, though.
No, but from the Greene County courts, which anyone who does come to Dayton, avoid Greene County at all costs. See, Dayton's Montgomery County, but the surrounding county, the one right next to it, Greene County.
On the east or the west?
East.
Oh, so we have to pass through it on the way out.
Yes. Yes, you will.
We could go up.
Xenia, Ohio. So if anyone wants to know about Xenia, check out a movie called Gummo. It's called Gummo. It's all about Xenia.
So what's with these people? Why are they so evil?
I don't know. They've been stuck in Ohio the same amount of time that I have. And
well, what kinds of things do they do?
Arrest everyone for everything.
What?
Anything. I mean, all you got to do is walk. You're just walking, and you're...
Surely, that's an exaggeration. Just walking and get arrested?
Yes, you do.
And what's the charge?
Walking. They can charge you with anything they want in Greene County. It doesn't matter. Second highest, don't quote me, this is what I've been told, but it has the second highest conviction rating in the country for counties. You know, it's no good.
Conviction for all sorts of things?
Yes, everything.
Okay, is there any particular reason? I mean, was there a high crime at some point?
No, not that I know of. Yeah, the worst thing that goes on there is tornadoes destroying everything, you know.
Well, I guess that could make them feel like they've lost control and they need to regain control by terrorizing the citizens a little bit.
You know, whatever makes them happy, I guess, but it's ridiculous and just avoid it at all costs. I don't go there.
What kinds of things have you heard, like specific stories happen to people?
Let's see. People approaching cops, okay, while they've got somebody stopped, walking by and saying something. That's obstruction of official police business.
What, saying something to a cop?
Yeah. While they're you know, talking to another, like if they're pulling somebody over, mm-hmm. talking to them, you know, and then the person walks by and says something to the cop, they can get them with that. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I know people that's happened to.
And what happens to those people once they get?
They go to jail.
For what, a night?
No. It's not like that in Greene County. See, in Greene County, you go for 6 months for things like that.
So you talk to a cop who's doing something, make a passing comment as you walk by, and you go to jail for 6 months just for that?
Yeah, if the cop's feeling froggy, yep. It's bad news.
And that's called obstruction of justice?
Of obstruction of official police business is what their ticket would say. I believe.
Any other stories like that?
None that I want to share.
Wow, this certainly is going to be a tourist attraction now with all these. Greene County is, what's in Greene County? Dayton is not in Greene County.
Dayton is not. Xenia, Beaver Creek, Fairborn, Yellow Springs. That's about it, I believe. So.
Would you say Dayton is a better place?
Dayton, police-wise, yes. See, if you get busted for shooting someone in the leg, you know, they've got bigger fish to fry, so they slap you on the hand and tell you to go. You know, that's just how that goes.
Wow. But
you can get away with murder in Dayton.
So you've got your eyes fixed someplace else, though. Not Ohio? You don't think
Not Ohio. New York City.
New York City. What have you heard about New York? Well, you've been to New York City.
Yeah. I mean, it's there's always stuff happening. There's just, you know, it's got everything that Ohio does not. So you that do live in New York City.
Restaurants are open past 10 o'clock on
Friday. Exactly. That aren't Waffle House.
Right. Well, tell us about Waffle House, because we don't have Waffle Houses where we are.
Oh. Well, Waffle House. Waffle House is great. It's the ultimate redneck-run... I don't even know what to say about Waffle House, other than, you know, you order... You know, if you want to order hash browns, you want to order three orders of hash browns, you want ham in them and cheese, it's a triple order hash browns covered and chunked. That
sounds pretty disgusting.
But it's good. It's good. But, I mean...
So they have their own language.
No, it's a whole language, and, you know, and it'll also clog your heart, and you will die if you eat it too much. But, I mean, that's the price you got to pay to have something to do in Ohio.
And Waffle House, there's one like on every exit, it seems.
Every exit.
And they're all 24 hours?
They're all 24 hours.
Well, that's more than we have in New York, I think. What other things do you have here in Ohio?
Nothing.
Well, there's other places.
Well, like that Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake. Now, that's a weird place.
It is indeed a weird place. But
that's like a fast food place, right?
Yeah. Well, where you go in, sit down, and they try to be fast, and they're not. And the decorations are terrible. Everything's black and white checkered, so you just feel like you're in a tunnel when you're sitting there and you're looking. It makes you dizzy. And then they wonder why so many people are running for the bathroom while they're eating. I mean, I don't know.
And you have a lot of franchises, a lot of national chains, and
that's all we have. I mean, that's it. Like you go down one street, you know, it's you know, you see a Don Pablo's, an O'Charlie's, a Max and Irma's, I mean, just stuff like that, and the Cold Stone Creamery.
Yeah, less said about that, the better.
Yeah, it was quite an experience, I must say. So.
Well, I guess it's, you know, it's Americana that this place is. So you're right in the middle of the country, and it's all these national chains, and it's you're getting kind of I don't know, I guess sort of the average of America is here.
The average, it's below average.
So okay, let's say you actually went to New York. What's your vision of New York? What do you think that we have that you don't have?
People, places, things. I mean, it's you can walk everywhere. You can, or you know, you have subways. We have
subways too. I counted at least four of them.
The restaurant subway. No.
What I thought you were talking about. Oh, the trains. Okay.
Trains.
Well, you have freight trains. We don't have freight trains.
Freight train, but not that you can board. You can't board a freight train. You get shot because they all run to the Air Force Base that's here in Greene County.
There's an Air Force Base in Greene County.
Yeah,
wow.
It's Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. It's the second largest Air Force Base in the country.
Fascinating.
So everybody here is disgruntled military people. So, I mean,
do most people feel this way, or are most people happy here?
Most people that I know feel this way, but maybe that's just because we all bring each other down. Who knows?
Is there anything good you could say about Ohio in closing?
No.
And that's our friend Lurid from Dayton. Native of Dayton, and he's got that good old Dayton cynicism. Actually, I think he's a neighbor of Dayton, like the next town over or something like that. But invaluable to have somebody who knows the area to show you around and give you the perspective. It's great talking to people out there. You always learn so much. We also heard from Bernie S. and Lynn Holcomb, who are out there at the Hamvention, which is what this show is dedicated to. We just got back from it this weekend. A yearly get-together of ham radio and electronic enthusiasts, and various other people as well. Tens and tens of thousands of people show up. Now, this next section here is devoted to a place we made reference to, the Waffle House, that seems to appear at every single exit on the interstate out there. Now, this is something that we don't have. We don't have these Waffle Houses. Very plain architecture, no real logo to speak of. The first one, and I'm getting some facts here from Wikipedia, the first one opened on Labor Day 1955 in Avondale Estates, Georgia, which is an Atlanta suburb. And they have kind of a cult following, and I guess I'm part of the cult. Waffle House restaurants are almost always found directly off of a major interstate exit. Waffle House locations actually have no advertising budgets, instead drawing on word of mouth and their distinctive tall signs that can be seen for miles on the interstate. Waffle House is best known for being open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and having a unique system for calling in orders, particularly with respect to hash browns. Listen to this. A hamburger with hash browns, that's known as a quarter plate. Hash browns scattered, not in a ring, is known as scattered. Hash browns with onions, smothered. Hash browns covered in melted cheese, covered. Hash browns with ham, chunked. Hash browns with chili, topped. Hash browns with tomatoes, diced. Now, this option was added in 1999. Hash browns with peppers, that's known as peppered. And this option was added in 2000, and it's still not available everywhere. Hash browns with mushrooms, that's known as capped. Incredible, the culture that's out there. Now, we're going to hear a little bit of sound from our Waffle House visit, which took place on Sunday. That's an annual event, too, the Sunday after Hamvention. We gather in the Waffle House before heading east. And
boy, I think you'll be amazed at just how noisy this place actually is. It's something everybody should experience at least once in their life. And it would be nice if I experienced queuing up the CD player properly once in my life. Let's go.
I'm going for 8. I'm going for 8.
Man, they make so much noise in this room.
Dude.
I guess I could have used a larger one.
You could have.
You guys make a lot of noise, you know that?
No, just sit.
This is the loudest restaurant I've ever been in.
Really?
Smashing and breaking. And
this particular one?
You shout back and forth at each other all the time? That's why I come here. I like it.
We're just an angry
one.
Yeah. Yeah. Bacon.
Dude, I want to hear it.
You have shorthand too, right? You have ways of like saying things to each other. Like what he just said probably isn't like in English.
No,
cover, jump, smash,
yeah.
Dead, alive, roadkill, cover.
Your secret words.
Plural.
You just said smash, dead, alive. That obviously couldn't be on one plate.
It could, but it would be tricky.
It's a combo platter.
It would be, yeah, it'd be tricky. Where's the platter?
Right here. You guys want to eat?
Wow, this is deja vu. I thought I heard, but I didn't. I'm going to get the All-Star Special.
Okay.
Ooh, look at you go.
Waffle, how's your egg?
Scrambled, please.
Scrambled, do you want bacon or sausage?
I'd like bacon with that. Yeah.
Did you want hash browns or grits?
Grits.
I'm told served us in jail was grits every morning. And I hear grits, this one, it's like a twitching. Applesauce for grits! God. No more.
I'll keep the grits away from you then.
Thank you. I never ate them one time the whole time I was there.
Bacon or sausage?
Not one. Why do you just take your ashtray?
I'm
all right, then.
Give her that one.
Give her that.
Can I actually push my
sausage
to bacon?
And my bacon to sausage. I was just thinking the same thing. It was driving me crazy. All right,
then.
You guys should have traded.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just trade the
bacon. Can I have some of your bacon? All right.
It works.
All right.
Yeah!
Whoa.
Look, you need this copper.
Who would be calling me? This is Mark.
Hello. Yes, what's up?
I was expecting him to.
No. I'm at Waffle House like I said I would be.
Well, are you at the right Waffle House?
How many Waffle Houses could there be? Come on.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man.
We're at the Waffle House with the car in the sky.
Right off the highway.
Right off the highway. No, not the Needmore Waffle House.
Oh.
That one sucks. We're in the one right off I-70. I-70 exit 38, Rig 201. It's just east of 75.
Grant Pike.
We just sat down.
Don't get your smoke in my face.
Okay, how many of you are there?
Your face in my smoke.
Sure, okay, we'll see you in a bit. Bye. There it is. Thank you.
I don't like my Mountain Dew.
A bowl of grits.
Some people
start the day.
Sugar too.
Really?
See, that's all they gave us. That's all that they gave us. We didn't use salt in it.
What's that yellow stuff in
there? Red use.
It's cheese.
Oh, you got cheese in you.
Yes. They're cheese grits.
So you're supposed to put salt on grits? Or is that just
you? It's optional. It's all your decision. You can put sugar on it. You can put salt. You can.
What did the people in the big house do?
Sugar. Always.
Really?
Two packets of Dixie Crystal sugar.
Man, that was $5 sugar.
That was nasty. That's what they used it. So it's like you're in jail. How's that feel?
So now what is this? This is a song.
About
Waffle House? It wasn't made by Waffle House.
No.
Who sings it?
The title's up there on the name's up there on the thing.
The name is unimportant.
do the lyrics go?
I'll be back to take your order. Is that what it said? I'll be back to serve.
Oh,
I know you will.
Do you know there's a song in there called Waffle House?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard it?
Definitely. Have you ever heard it? Have you ever heard it?
I've heard it.
She doesn't seem particularly happy that we're playing her song. I got the sausage. Thank you.
Okay, your waffles are still coming. Do you need more coffee?
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'm gonna put all the grits together.
Yeah, the mood definitely changed.
Yeah.
Yes, you may. Sorry for playing. Hey, I have a question. Can I get our regular order of hash browns with ham in it? Chunk?
That wouldn't be regular then. That would be chunk.
Chunk. Well, I meant regular size. Once you get all up out of my grill when you don't know what's cooking. Huh?
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah. Why don't you quit drinking out of the Kool-Aid when you don't know the flavor?
What are these, like Waffle House throwdowns?
Well, I don't know.
These are like ghetto. These are like, yeah, these are ghetto East Dayton throwdowns.
And there's our Waffle House feature for tonight. And that concludes basically our program on the Dayton experience, the Dayton Hamvention. We're going to close with a song from the whole Waffle House culture. Waffle House is actually known for jukeboxes that contain songs specific to Waffle House, like Why Would You Eat Your Grits Anyplace Else? Come On In. I think that's one we heard in the background. Good Food Fast and Special Lady at the Waffle House. But I was actually able to find a completely different one online. This is Johnny Spork and the Plastic Forks doing a rendition of Waffle House Tonight. So Manuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. Write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll see you next week.
Some people have a rocker tree. They can sit under and feel happy. But I'd rather be in a booth with Courtney and Sarah and Tate, discussing events of the day as we smoke cigarettes and drink warm cafe. Waffle House tonight. Continue our old ritual. Eat hash browns and pie. And always let us split the bill. We sit in our booth and we say silly things. We go to the jukebox, the utensils they bring. We make a quick order for hash and dessert. I ask for an ashtray, it usually works. If you're in a funk, put all your junk in the trunk. Scoot up to Waffle House where there's always love. Waffle House tonight. Continue our old ritual. Eat hash browns and pie. And always let us split the bill. Get to know your server if possible by name. Ben and Dolly always do the same. Whenever we go in, they're always nice to us. Leave a big tip because they make us late night lunch. They put up with our asses if we sit for an hour. And the glum food that we shared for increased spending power. Waffle House tonight. Continue our old ritual. Eat hash browns and pie. Forever let us split the bill. The five commandments to eating at the Waffle House. Drafted in the year 2004 AD. I will tell you them now. There shall be four to each booth, no more. And it shall be rectangular in nature. And there shall be hash browns and pie, but never waffles. And there shall always be an ashtray, but only one person with cigarettes, never three or two, but one. Thou shalt never look at the menu, except to giggle at the changes. Thou shalt never play waffle songs on the jukebox, unless thou desirest to get the ass kicked. Waffle House tonight. Continue our old ritual. Eat hash browns and pie. Forever let us split the bill. Waffle House tonight. Waffle House tonight. Waffle House tonight. We're going to the Waffle House tonight.
Hi, this is Avocados. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.